We hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
Good morning. We are so pleased to be here with you this morning. Our worship today, I felt like we really sang it all. God is so good. So good. I do have a lot of things in my heart to thank God for. But let me just thank you as Lifeline Church on behalf of the brothers and sisters back home, and also those that have left the country, but we believe they do carry with them, wherever they now live, the benefit of your engagement with our church back in Zimbabwe. We greatly appreciate having people that value us so much, and people that have such a commitment to us. I was reminding John this week that in 2016 alone, we had more than 6 visits from this church. We had 3 Doulos teams come and visit us. We had a team of 11 that came and stayed with us for about a week. We had Richard and Sue visit us separately, and John decided for that particular year only to visit us twice in 1 year, about 7 times. So we do thank you for that, for journeying with us with such a profound depth of relationship and such an intimate, intense level of engagement. And today we're here. We thank God that we continue to journey together. And thank you so much. Maybe you can help me clap for yourself as Lifeline Church. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Shall we pray? Father, bless and honor your word this morning. Help us that we may receive it, not as words from men, not as the word of men, but as your word as it really is. May it challenge us. May it ultimately change us. Father, we pray that this morning we may receive strength from it, encouragement from it, that we may serve you more faithfully. Well, let me start by a made-up story, but with a true meaning. It is said that when Jesus went back to heaven after he had been on earth and carried out his mission whilst he was in this world, he went back and the angels came around him and asked, "Lord, you have done so much, you have suffered so much for these people. You love them. Now you are back. Do they even know that you love them? Do they even know that you have done so much for them?" In the story it says, then Jesus says to the angels, not at the moment. Just a few people know, a few disciples. And the angels ask, "Lord, how then will the whole world know that you have loved them so much and done this much for them?" Then Jesus says, the few ones that know, Peter, John, they are going to tell others about my love. And those they tell are also going to tell others. And the whole world will eventually hear about how I love them and what I have done for them. It is said that the angels looked very skeptical and said, "Lord, what if your disciples get tired of telling your story? Lord, what if those they tell in the future will just forget and sit back. And the story does not reach everyone as you intended to. They said, Lord, don't you have another plan? Don't you have something that will back up should this expectation of yours fail? In the story, it is said that Jesus looked at the angels and said, I have no other plan. I am counting on them. If they fail, I have nothing else. You know, while this story is made up, it is true in the meaning it carries. We will never meet or see any other risk taker as God himself. We sit here this morning because God entrusted us with the most important thing that the world ever needs. I want us to read, maybe I'll tell the story and just read the last verses. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of Lazarus and the rich man. These two men have their life here on earth, and as soon as their life is over, they cross through the curtain into the next life. And things happen in that story that I want us to learn from. I'll just read the last verses of the story from verse 27 to verse 31. So this is the rich man now in his eternal home and Lazarus on the other side with Abraham. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said. But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Here we meet someone who had his life on earth. This story, by the way, it has nothing with riches in terms of wealth. Christ is talking to the Pharisees at this time and the Jews, the people that were considered rich in the knowledge of God, rich in terms of their inheritance, in terms of experience with God, and those that were considered poor in this case are the Gentiles, whom they considered to be at the level of dogs when it comes to how they viewed them. But we do not want to get into the details of the parable as such. What I want us to come to is we have two people that have now crossed beyond the curtain of death into the next life. This rich man is the interesting person for me. He seems to be just all of a sudden more alive than he has ever been, which I believe is going to be the experience for all of us. I believe that the very minute we die, all of us, we are going to be more alive than we've ever been for the rest of our lives. We will see more clearly, we'll understand better. There are things that happen in this story. This man, for example, he is not told by anyone. We don't hear him complaining of where he is. He instinctively just accepts where he is as his home. He doesn't question the justice of God. Secondly, interestingly, he just links where he is finally with the decisions and the life that he lived. He links his eternity to where he comes from. But at the end of the story, he has an interesting request. He says, Father Abraham, I understand that I cannot change where I am now. Please, I do have 5 brothers back. Would you send someone? And that's the reply that he gets, that no, they have to listen to Moses and the prophets. I think this obviously was relating to them observing the scriptures. But basically, they needed to accept God, receive his message according to what God had provided for them at that time. He is in this place. He can no longer change anything about his fate or the outcome of his life. What we want to get this morning as we start is that there are certain things that God has ordained to happen only in this life. This life is special to God. It's an assignment, and the assignment is in twofold. God has ordained things that we need to receive. He has what he wants to give us through other people that we ought to receive. On the other hand, God has what he wants to give to other people through us. And how we receive what God has for us has a serious, a very significant to the outcome of our lives. And what we are supposed to be giving others through God also has a large bearing to the outcome of other people's lives. God wants us to be those that realize that we need, in our life, in our saving God, we need grace, both the grace to receive what God is for us and the grace to give what he wants us to be giving. You see, God has not given us a choice of how we choose the ways we want him to bless us or to direct our lives. And here, if we switch to the one side of the story, we know that God counts on human beings, counts on us, those that have first believed, those that have received his message, to be the medium through which he reaches other people. Last week, Jamie quoted Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Again, we see the point that God has invested and ordained us to be those that witness to others about God's love, about God's plan, about God's hope, and about God's purposes in this life. You know, the word witness is a special word. It simply means those that give evidence. That settles a matter. And this mandate is not to a special few. It's a mandate that God has given to everyone. Just like Joel says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Meaning everybody will receive the Holy Spirit, and everybody who receives is instinctively mandated by God to witness him to the people that God has planted around their life. So this is the same, even if we go back to Genesis, when man was made, the original intent, let us make man in our own image. We see that God, right from the beginning, he has always intended us as human beings to be, all of us to be windows through which other people can see God, through which other people can experience God. Now, as God's evidence, as God's witnesses, God is inviting us this morning to come to that point where we make a choice that, God, I will not allow my own needs, I will not allow my own battles to deter me from that focus that my life is a mission. My life is a calling. I will not live a life that's focused. You know, there are places in this world, and even in any part of the world, even where there is prosperity and other things, life can still have challenges that are unending. And it is out of a deliberate choice that we can live focused on our mission, whilst at the same time we are seeking for solutions before God for the things that we face daily. I can give examples. Christ himself, when Christ was here in the physical body, when he came as a human being, he still faced opposition. He still faced rejection. He still was betrayed. He still was persecuted. But still in the midst of that, he carried out the mission that God had bestowed on him. Never at any given point did he say, because I've experienced this, I'm quitting. We hear the same about Elijah. If we read the book of James, it says, Elijah was a man like us, yet he prayed for this not to happen, and it did not happen. He prayed for this to happen, and it did happen. We are called by God to live for him. We are called by God to share his love, to evidence what he is like, regardless of our own circumstances. That's what we are called to be as witnesses. So this morning, let me just say, see, no matter what went before us or what we inherited, we get to choose what we leave behind. You see, the reality is that some of us inherited a lot of generational dysfunction in our families. A lot of us, you know, we just didn't get a fair deal in our life. Some experienced a lot of abuse. But what I want us to understand this morning is there's need to realize, there's need to understand that the day we chose Jesus, we chose a different heritage altogether. We chose life. We chose faith. We chose hope. We chose love. We did choose that imprint of heaven upon our marriages, upon our families, upon our children, upon the generations to come, and even upon our own communities. God will always, in the mess of things, evidence his grace, evidence his wisdom, his sustaining power. Sometimes what we go through, you know, there are so many scriptures in the Bible that tell us that we are not immune as long as we are still on this side of the curtain in this world. This is not heaven. We will still experience things that are painful, things that are frustrating, things that are discouraging. But God, you know, with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you remember that, they were thrown into the furnace. But the Bible says when they came out, they didn't have even the smell of smoke. They went in, but they were not affected because God was with them. You see, as those that evidence God, as those that God counts on us, you know, to just demonstrate his love, his power, his goodness to other people, we will experience even worse things than those that are not yet saved experience. But it will always be an opportunity for God to demonstrate that he is with us, and there is something special that preserves us, that keeps us loving, that protects our attitude, protects our hearts as we go through the different things. So we need to understand that God gave us Christ so that we can experience a totally different life altogether. Also, let me say that as those that evidence, that give the evidence of what God can do, we are those that live in hope. We preach hope. And our lives do give hope to other people. We might go through the grinding challenges of this life, but also there is always that eternal perspective to everything that will balance the scales. The sufferings of this present time will never compare to the splendor of eternity. That's what Jesus teaches us. He talked about how those that are in Christ are going to be blessed by him, both in this life and the one to come. But whilst we are still here, I want to invite us this morning to say, God is counting on you and me to do something. Whilst we are still in this life, we must be opening our hearts, opening our minds, and allowing God to help us to be those that encourage those that struggle. You know, just that encouragement to say to people, the past can be forgotten, wrongs can be forgiven, and we can live purposeful lives again. But how do we do all this? Let's come to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. What a beautiful passage. You know, Paul, the apostle, in these two verses summarizes his method of preaching Jesus. This is how he communicated the purposes of God and the love of Christ. He says, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. First, we are seeing here that the reason, the very reason why it is possible for us today to accomplish so much in another person's life and represent God in such meaningful ways in our families, to the people next to us, our work colleagues, and everywhere else. Paul says, I will not boast of anything except what Christ has accomplished. In other words, Paul is saying, these things are possible because they are not entirely rested on my efforts. They are not entirely rested on my gifts and my wisdom. I am available, and God is working through me. The one who is accomplishing God is not myself. Who is accomplishing these things, it's not myself, but it's God working through me. Then he goes on to say, what God has accomplished through me in leading Gentiles to obey God. I don't think there is anything better in this life than being used by God to lead someone into a life that's submitted to him. This is what he has called us to do. This is what he is counting on us, that our witness, our engagement with our children, we will lead them to a point when they will choose a life that is submitted to the King. You know, back home, I don't know if you have that challenge here, but back home, we do have a half gospel. And that half gospel prevails a lot. A lot. It is popular. Because what it says when people are preaching, they say Christ is the Savior. And who doesn't accept a Savior? Who doesn't want to be, you know, saved from issues and so forth? But that's not the gospel that we see in the book of Acts. Always in the book of Acts, it says, they preached that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. There is a submission to the King that cannot be separated from our salvation. So Paul says, let me tell you, God has accomplished so much in me. He has helped me. He has accomplished through me, leading people to obeying him. But when you look at the following words, I'm tempted to switch to Shona. He's saying, leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said. You know, the simplicity of this always baffles me. Paul says, this is how God has done it. He has accomplished so much through me. He has led the Gentiles to obey God. Number one, he says, through what I've said. Number two, he says, through what I've done. And number three, he says, by the power of miracles and signs through the Holy Spirit. And then he says, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I've fully proclaimed the gospel. Now, you know, I tried to come up with other words, but I realized that there is no way we can escape this. One of the things that God is calling to us to do is as simple as engaging with other people. I wrote some things down here so that I don't forget. Paul is saying God has accomplished so much through my conversations with other people. Let me just read this out so that I don't miss it. When he says through the things that I have said, he is saying this is about God accomplishing big things through my words. Eye-opening conversations, encouraging conversations. You see, conversations help to explain things. Conversations help to bring conviction. Conversations help in bringing restoration. Conversations help others to make correct decisions about the most important issues of life. And God is simply inviting us never to forget that we are called to be His voice in every conversation about all issues of life. Always remember that as the conversation is going on in your presence, God is counting on you to bring His heart, bring out His mind, and trust Him to do the rest. If I think back the 20 years or so that I've known John, I'll say most of the things that has happened is meeting to talk. So much of my life, so much of other people's lives has been transformed through that. Just the few days I've been here, I've seen Jamie meeting with people. I've seen Richard and Sue, the number of people. Just that belief, that willingness to say, God, I am going to be available that you will use me to talk to this person. I will be there in this. I'm going to hear their story. I'm going to trust you to make me catch the real issues. I'm going to trust you to help me to say something that will hopefully be of great significance. I'm going to trust you that through these words, you are going to plant some kingdom seed in this heart. You know, one thing, we miss the significance of what God has called us to do. Sometimes we think it must happen in a very big setup. But Paul is simple. He's saying, I will not venture to talk about anything, but what God has accomplished through me, through the things I've said. He is so sure that he has said things that God has used to change minds, to change destinies, to change lives. Even this very man we talked about, the rich man, he knew very well that, please send someone. My brothers, there is a conversation that must take place with them. There is something they need to hear if their life is going to change. And I'm saying to us, sometimes we are here, all the beggars and the things that we're hearing happen and take place. You're invited to different places, but it's still possible to miss those opportunities even when the platforms are there. You can still decide to continue to withdraw and stay in your corner. We know that Paul got into all kinds of dangers traveling to make sure these conversations were happening. And yet, my message to you this morning is God is counting not on anybody but on you. To be used by him as his mouthpiece. I will not say a lot about the things that he has done. I know we talk a lot about saving, but basically, he's talking about living a life that demonstrates what we believe about God. I remember talking to Miro and Mara on Thursday or Friday evening, and Mara was talking about the mothers that she ministers to. And she said, this is not just about lecturing to them. You live alongside them. You get spent. You share. She said, I share my experience with them. And imagine, some of them are not yet even saved. And she said, I share with them my difficulties with Miro and how I handle Miro. You know, just that opportunity to allow others to apply the gospel into their also real life setup. And finally, by the power of the Spirit, this simply means this is God releasing his power to turn our water into wine. My words and my understanding of the Bible, the scriptures, I use everything. They are just water that I can give to God. But when he chooses and when he decides, you'll be amazed with what one conversation with someone can do. You'll be amazed with one person observing you living life, how much they are impacted. In terms of what we can do this morning, let me say that as long as there is still time on this side of life, there is room to change. There is an opportunity to redirect our lives. So you can say, God, first I want to live in the reality of life in Christ. I don't want to continue to be held by past or defined by difficulties, by needs, by challenges. These I will face, but I want my biggest reality defined by who you are. When I chose you, I chose blessing. I chose life. Lord, I want to see your imprint on my children. I want to see your imprint on my family. You can also say, God, I don't think I've been there, but I don't think I've been really available to be the vehicle you can use to touch others. Would you show me one or two people? I'm going to make myself available. Would you just use my visit? Would you use my phone call? Would you use my words? In one way or the other, help me with ears that can listen. Bless someone through me. And lastly, I just want to say we should never stop asking God for miracles. We need him to show his power. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, they went back and said, Lord, give us boldness. But on top of it, Lord, would you confirm your word with signs and wonders? There's nothing that can hinder. Even in the absence of faith, we can still say, help our unbelief.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.